In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Giving the perfect gift to just the right person is always difficult. Generally, or oftentimes, we seek refuge in traditional gifts, which can be much appreciated, as a matter of fact, but especially at this time of year, I'm thinking of socks and handkerchiefs and things of that sort, things that are practical. But the point is that finding that perfect gift for each person is always very difficult. Most of us aren't very good at it. Sometimes we can think back into past Christmases and think of the one time when we managed to give the right gift to the right person. But when it comes to giving gifts, God is very good at it. In fact, He never makes a mistake. He gives the gifts to each one of us that we need. He gives the great gift to all of us that we need when it comes to our being able to live lives that are fulfilled by our salvation. Salvation is to fulfill our lives. There are three kinds of gifts that God gives. First of all, there is the gift that He gives to all of us, that we all share in. And second of all, there are those types of gifts that we heard St. Paul talk about in the verses from his letter to the Ephesians this morning. Gifts to those who are needed by all of us as leaders of the church. Those are the kinds of gifts that he lists in these passages that we've just heard. The gift of being an apostle, the gift of being an evangelist. And I know that we live in the 21st century and we've had all these centuries since, but think, when St. Paul talks about apostles, he's talking about the apostleship of the 12 and himself, and the apostleship of those that share in their apostleship, the 70 apostles, and all of those who come who will share in the gift, the responsibility, the burden of fulfilling this gift of being an apostle. Because when God gives a gift, He gives us the ability to fulfill that gift. But at the same time, it's up to us to actually do the fulfilling. We can turn away from the gift. We can try to fulfill the gift in some way that it can't be fulfilled, in some kind of human-oriented fashion, which focuses us maybe on the third type of gift even more specifically, and that is the kind of gift that He gives to individuals, particular individuals, the gift that they need in order to live their lives at one with God. When we are baptized, we are baptized into something that we share in common. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that we are given in common, that we share in common. The gift of our salvation, we share in common. The gift of being able to come to communion and receive the body and blood of Christ Himself into ourselves to help us transform our lives, to draw more and more close to Him. That is a gift that we're given all together in common, that we share in common, that we protect in common. When we betray it in ways that separate us from God and from all of the rest. Whenever we sin, whenever we miss the mark, it's a matter of going off all by ourselves, and it hurts, it wounds the common life that we share together in Christ. The gift of being able to come to the sacrament of confession and repentance and return into that common life of salvation together. Those are gifts that we're given in common together. But when we are baptized into that common life, We are given gifts also by the Holy Spirit that we need in order to deal with our particular and specific temptations in our own lives. Particular, specific gifts of the energy, the grace of God. All of us in our lives struggle against temptations of a particular and specific kind, and we have been given the gift that we need in order to deal with those temptations. What we do, unfortunately, is oftentimes we ignore that gift and fall into the temptation. But it is part of our building up of the common life in Christ that we all share, for each of us to deal with those temptations. Because it hurts the body of Christ. It doesn't just hurt us in isolation. In fact, the irony is that it is exactly falling to those temptations that puts us into a condition of isolation from all the rest and from God. The gift that we've been given to deal with those temptations is what brings us back. And so there are these three kinds of gifts. The gift that has been given to all of us together, the gifts that we have individually been given at our baptism in order to be able to deal with our spiritual life, and the kinds of gifts that St. Paul is talking about in his letter to the Ephesians. There has been this difficulty in Ephesus, that there have been some members there that have envied Paul his apostleship. And without having the burden of his apostleship, because remember, when someone is given one of these special gifts that he mentions, God holds that person accountable for the gift that has been given. When someone is made metropolitan, when someone is made bishop, when someone is ordained a priest, God will call that person to an accounting for what he has done as far as fulfilling the gift that has been given. And St. Paul makes that point. Theophylact, when he's reflecting on what St. Paul has said about those gifts, puts it this way. He asks, as though he were Paul, he asks, how long will those who have been given these gifts of toil and labor, how long will they have to work? And the answer is, they will have to work until all of us have reached the fullness of the stature of Christ. Because that is their task. That is the task of the apostles. That is the task of the bishops, of the priests, of the teachers, of the evangelists. To bring all together into the body of Christ so that all of us can receive the fullness of the stature of Christ together. It's ironic that people have read these passages, and even though St. Paul is talking about oneness in the faith, even though he is talking about those who take upon themselves roles that they have not been given, and then they can play with those roles, they can feel free, they can feel as though they're expressing themselves. Why? Because they have not been given the burden of that responsibility. They have not been given the burden of knowing that they are going to be called to account for the gift that they have been given. And so they can act individually according to their own whim. The irony is that even though St. Paul is writing to the Ephesians to deal with that difficulty, to deal with that problem, and to try to teach humility to the people of Ephesus, to the members of that church, people have come to these passages, and when they get to the part about attaining the fullness of the stature of Christ, they think of it as though St. Paul were writing about isolated individuals, each on their own pathway toward perfection. Now, we live in a society where the individual is lifted up and our political rights are confused with our nature as human beings who can only be fulfilled along with others in the image and likeness of God, in the image and likeness of God that is Jesus Christ. We can only attain to the fullness of the stature of Christ and his perfection together at one with him. We are brought into his perfection. We cannot accomplish that as isolated individuals. St. Paul doesn't even conceive of the possibility anywhere in his writings of a Christian trying to walk that path alone, individually, simply between himself and God. In these particular passages, he is trying to deal with those who are throwing a monkey wrench into the common life that we are to live at one with one another through Christ, and are playing around with pretending that they are able to do what St. Paul is called to do, but better. They criticize him. They give him ways to improve his being an apostle, even though it isn't their responsibility. And at the same time, they are ignoring their own role in the body of Christ. They are not fulfilling the gifts that Christ gave to them. It's only by each member of the body of Christ fulfilling the gifts that God has given to us that the body of Christ can be built up, so that each person working in their own spiritual life can contribute to the perfection of the saints. St. Paul even uses that expression, contribute to the perfection of the saints. We perfect one another by attending to our own spiritual temptations, confessing our sins, using the gifts that God has given us as weapons against missing the mark. We build others up, and they, doing the same in their own lives, they build us up, and the body of Christ is more and more able to show the presence of Christ in the world. That's our task here at St. Timothy Orthodox Church, just as it was the task of the church in Ephesus. To reveal the presence of Christ, we have to all be using the gifts that we were given at our baptism and chrismation, chrism, gift, when we were gifted with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we were given the gifts that enable us to deal with our own passions, our own temptations. Those are the gifts that each one of us is meant to use in order to build up the body of Christ. Not to build up my life, not to perfect my life, not to be able to come next time to the sacrament of confession and say, well, Father, I think I've been doing a better job at perfecting my own life. You know, I'm praying more often, but here are the places where I need to improve. I'm on my own path, all in isolation. That way of understanding things is completely not in the Gospels. It has nothing to do with our salvation at one with God through Christ. Humility is the only possible way that we can deal with the fact that oftentimes we are not satisfied with the gifts that we are given. We want to not pay any attention to the ways that we are tempted. And so we don't open the gifts that God has given us specifically in order to be able to deal with them. I remember as a child when our parents showered gifts on us at Christmas. All six of us, we had these huge piles of gifts that we would go to and we would start opening them. But if someone had a bigger package, if there was a big, big package, and we came down and we saw, oh, my sister Sandy, she's got the biggest package in the room. What is that? Why don't I have a big package? All mine are smaller. And the funny thing is, you know, the older you get, the smaller your packages get. Why? Because they contain things that are incredibly expensive. And so you don't usually get those big things like tricycle wrapped up. It's the biggest thing in the room. You get something that's this big but costs three times as much as the tricycle. So the packages get smaller. But our desire to have the biggest and the most powerful, it doesn't go away, not for us as children anyway. And so we are tempted, as the people at Ephesus were tempted, to say, you know, I could do a better job than what's going on there with that person that has been elected bishop. And we have today the internet, and we can write in and point out the shortcomings of bishops. People who, are they paying attention to the gifts that they've been given to deal with their own temptations in their lives? Are they perfecting themselves in that way that will perfect the body of Christ? Instead, they are pointing out shortcomings in the bishop or the metropolitan. We're always interested in the gifts of others and whether or not they are fulfilling their gifts. The burden that was given St. Paul is a burden that plagued him to strive to fulfill that burden every day, every hour of his life. And no one could know the difficulty that St. Paul went through, except we have a lot of insight into that, of course, because of his letters. So what we have to remember when it comes to the gifts that we've been given is that it is important for us to focus on opening the closed package, that hidden package that we've never even taken the wrapping off of, never even pulled the bow off of, in order to deal with those things that plague us in our spiritual lives. Those are gifts that God has given us that we don't pay any attention to, and instead we rely on ourselves and we try to stand against the shortcomings that we see in ourselves by self-reliance rather than by relying on these gifts that God has given us. Now, every one of those gifts is going to have something in common. They're all going to have something to do with humility. And maybe that's why we ignore them. Humility is the only way that we can deal with those individual and particular temptations that plague us. So this is a vision that St. Paul is giving us in these passages that is almost always missed when people read these passages. It has to do with the building up of the body of Christ, the building up of our shared communion, the building up of the church. Not a building, not an institution, but this living thing that is the body of Christ, that is our human way of sharing in his perfection. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. All of us are called to share in that perfection, specifically and particularly by living the lives that we live as individuals. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.